Yep. No headphones. We have to actually listen to each other.
We've done a no phone.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time.
No phone episode.
It's been a long time since we've done an episode. And as I started every single one before we took this few month hiatus, welcome back. Episode 59 of the Bayou Dragons podcast. Today, me, Mitch, Tanner, we don't have any special guests today. Like, we just really just wanted to get together, catch up, kind of just give y'all a spill of what we've done. Because our last podcast, me and Matt did the Taj Mahal with Jenkins and all his guides.
That was during duck season, right?
That was during duck season. So yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, I feel like the podcast is just one of them things, you know, we're all freaking busy now, man. But when we do get the time to do them, I enjoy doing them, and they're fun. Sit down and bullshit with whoever. But we're back now. We have a little time this evening to sit here and catch up a little bit.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think we had so our last podcast, we were talking about how good the duck season was at that point, and then it really just went downhill.
God.
We had a terror. Like, that back half of our season this year.
I mean, you say the back half, but I would say the full season was shit. It was shit, man.
I'd definitely put it top rated. One of the worst seasons we've ever had.
In the past, I would say the worst season in the past 5-6 years.
Oh, yes, easy.
Down here, I mean, they slaughtered them up north per usual, but down here in Southeast Texas, we got our asses kicked time and time again in that brackish water marsh, that Southeast Texas marsh. That we love so much.
Yeah,
we keep going out, though, and doing it, though.
Well, it's a grind. That's why we like doing it, but it just was not. And I'm bringing up duck season right now because we're basically just going to play it back from when we left off, and duck season was when it was, and it was shitty. We did go up to Oklahoma and had a few good hunts in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we met a guy up there, or we actually when did you meet him?
Oh, so actually, take it back. This is going out to Hunter Wilson. Him and RJ were buddies. They both played at Lamar. I believe it was at Lamar when they played baseball together.
Yeah.
And it was when me and Tanner lived in the rent house together. We threw one of our typical ragers, just people everywhere. And I don't even really remember Hunter being at the house that night.
I don't remember. Like, I never even remembered him at all.
Yeah, but so everybody blacked out, got sloppy drunk, whatever.
Yeah, we were trashed, and
we hardly ever
remembered any of those nights anyway.
Yeah, but we just wake up, and we're like doing our normal, just, you know, Saturday, wake up, go make some coffee, hungover as hell, and there's this random guy sleeping on our couch. I'm just like, who the hell is this?
And this had to be how many years ago?
Oh, my God.
It was a long time ago.
10 years ago,
so this same dude lives in Oklahoma now, and he hosted us for about a week. He opened his home to us. We went and stayed with him, and we hunted public land. We hunted some private stuff, and it was a good time. We didn't mash him, but it was fun. It was a good little getaway, good trip with the boys, and I had a good time.
Oh, it was a damn good time. It was like just a straight-up dude's hunting trip. We flew drones. We hunted. We drank beer. We messed around.
We just screwed off the whole time.
Shout out to Hunter Wilson.
Yeah, he'll be a good one to have on here.
I would love to have
Hunter. He would be a great podcast.
And also on that trip, Snuff Cup joined us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Old Matthew Baker with Snuff Cup Spittoon. Shout out to Snuff Cup.
He sent me a very funny message I got to read to y'all here shortly on the podcast.
On the podcast? Snuff enjoyed himself. He had never really done anything like that. So
he shot his first duck on that trip, actually.
Oh. Yeah, he did, on that little mallard hole.
It was a pintail. Oh,
yeah. He shot a pintail.
Pintail sprig.
Yeah.
With whatever the hell he was shooting. What the hell was he?
It was a turkey gun.
Yeah.
It was
that's
his turkey gun.
He's a turkey hunting man. And guy, he brought his old turkey gun.
Yeah. 36 inch barrel.
It only took him about 2.5 boxes to finally get him one. But when he did, he couldn't have been any more happier. It was pretty awesome.
He was so pumped. He was like, man, I'm going to get this mounted. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And the sumbitch left it
in the bed of the truck. We didn't eat.
And we're like, do you want us to
mail it? 2 hours later after he left is when we found it.
We're like, do you want us to mail this to you? He's
kind of late for that.
He sent me a message today, and it says in quotations, hey, Porter, how much compensation for you to get tased while we're here? Porter, zero racks.
Zero racks. Nah, I figure we get to the tasing here.
Yeah, that'll be here in a little bit. We'll touch on that.
I just recently figured out y'all did that.
Yeah, that's the most recent thing we've done. So, Hunter Wilson was a tremendous host, and he knows his shit in duck hunting. And y'all, it was kind of cool watching y'all two collaborate together, learning how to. You're trying to teach him how to do like videos and stuff like that.
Oh, dude,
to up his game.
Dude, he's already.
Oh, dude, he's killing
off
it.
With that. I mean, he's doing a great job. He's shot some really cool shit.
Oh yeah, and I like his videos where he argues with his wife are actually pretty comical.
Oh yeah,
where he always looks in the camera at the end, like.
Yeah, he's doing well, man, and he's got it going on for sure. With his, he does the drone thing. He sprays. What is it? Does he spray?
He's basically a crop duster. It's just he does drones. He don't fly the damn plane, you know.
Yeah, those drones though can carry like 250 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, they're bigger than. I mean, they're like your freaking. Like a small car.
Yeah.
They're huge. And he got to show us his setup, and he's got that big-ass trailer. And
yeah, no, he
put
he,
some drones on it. It's pretty sweet.
We'll definitely have him down and have him on a podcast just talking about that. Just that whole, like, that shit he does up there is cool. I mean, we have it down here, but we don't have the drones. Everybody still uses crop dusters. But I think the drone game down here would kill with the rice.
Oh, yeah, man, yeah. It would.
Planning and... You know, spraying, whatever.
But anyway, in a wrap, duck season, mediocre, not that good down here. At best, you know, it was trash.
Yeah. Yep. It was duck hunting. Then, so we kind of got tied up with that, you know, hunting, traveling. It's like carrying this big-ass podcast stuff, which we need to get some more smaller equipment so we can carry it for travels like that. But, we're busy during that time, and as soon as duck season ends, it was fishing season.
Starts.
Oh, my God. I will say this. The fishing season has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Damn
good fishing.
Fantastic. I haven't caught nothing of any size yet. I fished. Today was my 8th tournament since February, and I still, in the tournament, still haven't even caught a fish over 4 pounds. It's always pre-fishing.
I think I'm rubbing
Mitchell's,
off on you.
Mitchell's, he's up there right now. He's eight pounds.
Nine, I think.
Nine.
Oh, got okay. A nine. Nine. No, I can't catch one over 14 inches. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I can catch hogs because I can't. I can catch a keeper, though. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, that was all day was just keepers. I mean, that's basically how fishing for us has been this whole year, which, I mean, fishing Toledo, Rayburn.
I mean, we haven't had a time where you couldn't just go out there and tear them up.
Dude, I can't. The only time I haven't limited, like when I've gone out, was that very first Lone Star tournament in February. Me and Warhola, who y'all know, has been on the podcast a bunch. We're fishing a team series together, and we're both. There's like 100 people. I think I'm sitting in 20th right now, and he was like in 9th.
Yeah, he was up there last time I looked.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he was 6th last time, but I know there's been multiple tournaments probably since I've looked.
Yeah. But that was the only time I went out and could not catch my – caught fish all day, but I didn't catch my limit. That was the only day I can remember. That was February, and it has been dumb.
Yeah, well, so duck season ended. We've been fishing our asses off, been working a lot. I don't think I've been on a podcast since I impregnated my wife. It's been a while. I don't
– Yeah, well, no one even knows. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Like, we have – you know, I think I just – my child was only a few months old from the last podcast we did, and now she's 10.
Yeah, now she's doing wind sprints in the front yard.
Wind sprints. Tanner's kid's only like 3 weeks older, so we've been having small children. And then Mitchell.
I've got one in the oven that's about to – my wife's about to pop. She's due in a couple weeks.
So. Any day now.
Another child, a female.
Another female to add to the...
Yeah, we all got us a female now.
Yeah, we're done, man.
It's going to...
We are done. I got a boy and a girl, done.
It's going to...
scrotum amputated.
How are you now?
He's a good, healthy delivery.
Dude. His wife's going to make him have another kid.
Going smooth, full amputation.
Dude, that's how you should, so then you don't even have to worry about it.
You got
to
worry about it.
No, you don't worry about it.
Yeah, chop and block, just... Yep. Yeah, I speak for... And I'm a, you know, first-time dad, but now I've been one for almost a year now, and I will speak for every father of a daughter. It is going to hit you right in the mouth, man.
I look forward to it.
I used to be a lot more rambunctious, and she has calmed me down a lot.
That's a good thing, though, man. That's part of
children,
it,
you know? Period. I mean, you just got fucked with a girl right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. I should have.
I wish I went 5 years and then finally had a girl. So it's like,
yeah,
yeah. I had my boy and you know, y'all know how he is.
Oh my God. Know.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Old Felker
right there.
Yeah, having a girl first. I don't know if it just scared me more or whatever. I mean, her favorite word's dada. So.
Oh yeah.
That's nice. My wife loves that.
That's good, man.
Oh yeah. Have you chosen a name yet?
We're still talking about it.
Yeah.
3 weeks away, they still don't have a name.
Well, the name that Mitchell wants is not going to happen. I already know that.
Gertrude, wasn't it?
Argument.
It's not going to happen, man. I just let her go with it. At this point, it's not worth the argument.
It'll be one of those chose at birth.
Probably so.
That's fine, dude. Ours was chose at birth, but we just didn't know what it was. So,
yeah,
no, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Even though it was going to be Tate, regardless, but you never know. If it might have been a boy, I might have been like, oh, let's name him Paul.
Jared.
Paul would have been good, man.
Paul. Yeah, that would have been a pretty good one. Solid name.
But anything, I'm trying to think of what we have upcoming for us. We've been kind of slow lately because we bought this shop.
Oh, yeah. And this is the first podcast in the shop. We haven't even.
Yeah, this is. We're sitting in our new Bayou Dragon shop, and we got bent over by the bank pretty hard. I mean, there's no other way of saying it.
No.
No.
Nature's Federal Credit Union.
There's no way out of it, man.
They bent us over, man, on every aspect of buying this shop. But
it wasn't even. I won't even say it was Nature's.
It was an individual that worked at Nature's. He really got us.
Because I enjoy banking with Nature's. Been
I do
doing
too,
it for years.
Personally, but. You know, he, after the experience of purchasing the shop with him, I won't be doing anything like that. Commercial, you know, anything business wise with Nature's ever again after experience we had.
Yeah, he definitely
rammed. Anyway, they rammed us hard. No lubrication with that. So we've been kind of low on funds for a little while, but we're finally building back up, and we want to come out with some new stuff here in the near future. And
yeah,
we have some stuff in the chamber.
We have all the designs. We have we have the shirts. We just need to get it done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They'll be dropped.
It'll be dropped soon. And then we got, what is it, May? So, yeah, we still got a couple months of kind of the lull, and then our shows will start picking up with the festivals, this and that. But right now we're just grinding pretty much, working and doing this as much as possible.
Yeah, being a – do you get maternity leave?
Paternity leave?
Yeah.
No, they don't give us paternity leave. They don't believe in it. where I work in Durama. We get no paternity leave. We have to take vacation or unpaid leave.
Oh, so you'll be taking unpaid leave?
So all the trips I like to go on for, you know, my hunting trips and stuff, my vacation, I have to burn that for the, which is fine, burn it for the child. But if I want to take any additional time, it has to be unpaid leave, which is, you know, that's what they think of us. That's how they value us. They unpaid. So that's fine. That's what I'll have to do.
Hell yeah, dude.
I mean, that's what it is.
I got 160 hours. Dude.
Joe was off for like 6 months.
Dude, Joe.
I don't give a shit what Joe says. He had to have been off for 6 months.
Well, dude, I would just call him and I'd be like, hey, man, you back at work? He's like, nah, man. I'm like, well, I need some help at the lake. Yeah, I'll ride out.
Yeah. It was like his kid's first birthday damn near. And he's like still on freaking leave.
I think he still has a couple of weeks left too. But I guess that's what you get when you're a boss.
Well, yeah, I mean,
when you
damn near own the company.
Honestly, I think 1 week would be. Just that's fine, dude.
That's all I get.
1 week.
I get 1 week.
Great. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Nah, nothing. Unpaid. Well, we're not going to pay you to take off with your newborn child. We're just uncompensated. So,
yeah.
I'm kind of salty about that, but.
Really? I can't tell. I didn't know you were. This podcast is brought to you by.
A lot of people think you need to spend time with your newborn, though, but.
Colonel Taylor.
They'll never remember you.
Oh, your kid?
No.
Porter takes a good pour of the bourbon I brought for us this evening, Colonel Taylor.
Yeah,
it's a good pour there, man.
Oh, yeah. It's a great pour. Man, yeah, so what is our, we can always cut this out. What's our plan?
Our plan is what it's always been, man, to continue to fucking grow. But it's just
you
been
need
hard.
To grow, but I mean
the problem is now. Here's the problem with what we're doing. It's that everyone is trying to do this shit now. Like when we first started, there wasn't that many apparel companies. Now, dude, there's so many fucking just random shit you'll see everywhere. Everyone's doing hats. Everyone's doing shirts. Whatever.
Yeah. Well,
it's just a saturated industry now.
It really is. I was glad we were kind of ahead of the curve on doing it. You did great with getting us started with all the videos and stuff like that. It's still unparalleled because there's a lot of people that are trash and they do it.
Oh, yeah.
A couple individuals around this area that
it's
are not good at it.
No, and a lot of people push and like hunting apparel and this and that, and they fucking suck.
Yeah.
They're shit.
Well, that dude, that group out of Mont Belvieu, y'all can eat my ass.
Oh, they're fucking terrible, dude. I was on TikTok. No, dude, look, they were doing a TikTok. I don't even know their name. They're doing a TikTok live, and they're doing like a flash sale or some shit where they have their products or whatever. Dude, their shirts fucking copy like all of ours.
Identical.
Like, to a T, man. The color of the shirt, the fucking design, they just use like a dog or some shit. I'm like, dude, come on now.
Yeah. They're
stupid, man. Okay.
So is this the same guys that were doing it like a year or two ago, whatever, when we caught them on the, it was the
Trophy Hunter
Drive?
Yeah, the Surface Drive shirt.
They did the pintail shirt.
I mean, it was, it couldn't have been almost a copy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to the T of the boat sticker.
Besides an alligator, it was a duck.
They even had the same boat sticker we had.
Yeah,
I know.
The TX 409.
It was the exact same.
No originality.
Design.
But, I mean, we're going to keep doing our doing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean.
We'll just keep coming up with originals, and y'all just keep copying. It's all right. It's all cool. We'll just come up with originals.
I got another one they'll probably copy that we're going to drop here. I'd like to do it here in the next couple months, the mallard design we have.
Yes.
They'll probably copy that one, too, which is fine.
They'll just make it a gray duck or woody or something.
Yeah.
Probably so.
But it's fine. It's fine.
But I did recently. So, past 8 years, I've ran a all-weld Go Devil little shit rig and finally bought a boat a couple months ago. So, I'm pretty happy about that. I haven't really got to play with it much, but finally got a gator tail.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Fine rig.
You finally have stepped up the game a little bit.
I finally stepped up our game. Now we have a decent boat to hunt out of at our shit marsh.
Well, it's funny, like all these. You would think that, and I'm not saying that we're popular by no means, but usually when we go out to the marsh, either somebody's wearing our stuff or they know who we are, and we always have the worst.
We have the shittiest rig in the whole marsh.
Some 16-year-old kids pull up with a $30,000 rig.
Yeah,
oh, dude. And they're all like, you know, talking to us, thinking we're the coolest shit, and we're in like this $3,000 piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's got holes in it. It's got 1,000 hours on it.
Crank to start, even though it has electric start.
Rope snap four times trying to pull start it.
Plug doesn't work. The boat floats.
It's been like that for years, but I mean.
That's how it's been, and there's no shame in that, man. That little Go Devil was a badass little rig for me for many years, and I won't sell it. I'm going to keep it in good condition. My son can have it when he gets of age. It'd still be running, I'm sure.
God.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Well, that's why I kept our first boat, the Mariner. I still have her.
Well, that boat is not
kind of
run.
Yeah. I mean,
no, the Mariner.
You still have the Mariner. The boat's at the lake.
Yeah, the boat's at the lake. It's not put together.
It's not put together.
I don't know if we've ever talked about
that Mariner,
that crap
God.
On the podcast. What we used to do when we were kids.
We used to do some shit, man, to kill some, and we used to kill them too.
We would go shoot a 5-man limit every weekend.
We would take. So I had a 14-foot Alumacraft boat with a 20-horse Mariner.
That was back
pull start.
Anybody hunted?
Yeah, that was before anyone even had surface drives out there. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying they weren't around, but no one was using surface drives.
It was mainly
drives.
Long tails.
Yeah, they had long tails, or you had little outboards. And no one even had winches on their boat at the time. And everywhere we hunted, we had a winch, either across levees or across mud flats. So what we would do at McFadden, we don't hunt there anymore, so I'll say exactly where it is.
Yeah.
Go to Central Unit. There's a lot of birds out there.
Used to be.
We would go down to the end of the levee. It's about 300 yards, and we'd disassemble my whole boat. It's like, all right, two people grab the boat, one person grab the motor, one person grab the gas tank, and we'd just walk everything.
Well, once we got smart, we'd unload the boat, and we'd all four pick up a corner of the boat.
Yeah.
But, we'd carry it over the levee.
Yeah, but we were dumb.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm talking about that time, though, that we couldn't, the mud flat was all the way to the intercoastal.
Yeah, Tanner was not on that adventure. That was horrible.
He wasn't on that one?
No, I was on plenty of them, but the one specifically that you're talking about, I was not on.
Because it was
forget that.
Yeah, that sucked. We just toted just back and forth bringing shit.
We used to do a lot of shit, man, to shoot birds. Now we've kind of got, I say spoiled, but I mean, not really. I mean, we just don't walk anymore.
We still do
anymore.
The same shit.
We don't walk anymore. We just
make it so much easier on ourselves.
Yeah.
All that boat racing. All right, there's no reason. No reason to boat race because 9 times out of 10, those guys that are up front running 40 miles an hour, we still shoot more birds than they do anyway.
Yeah. Well, you have a couple. I remember there was the last time I got in a boat race at Mud Bayou. It was the people that were in front had like an 80 horse. Not supposed to have that, but they had something giant.
They don't care, man.
They don't care. And they got stuck like Chuck in the middle of the first pond, and I was just like,
oh, yeah.
We just putted by them.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite ones was y'all were there the next day. Remember that hunt I brought my dad?
Yeah, I brought Keaton with us.
Yeah, so I brought my dad, I brought his buddy, and I think it was my brother. And we went out to a pond, and we shot a 4-man limit of straight green winged teal. Every single bird, green winged teal. And big duck season. It was towards the end of the year. But anyway, the tide was way out. That was the first pond, like you're talking about. All these dudes raced as hard, as fast as they possibly could to get back to where I wanted to go. And I let them go. I just let them truck on through. And when I finally came through, every single one of them was stuck dead center of that pond. Because they just think they could fly straight across. No, you follow the ditch all the way around the outside edge and get where you want to be. And I got exactly where I wanted to be. The only bad thing was Jeremy got his boat stuck. So I blew by all them guys while they were pushing, put all our shit out. I had to drive back to help Jeremy push his boat out.
Jeremy?
That's my dad's buddy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the time we went, because we didn't. You talked that sumbitch up, and we shot.
No, that was the next day.
Yeah, we shot
it's
8 birds.
It's crazy how you can go out there and fucking mash them one day, and then the next day.
That was
day,
the only reason
shit.
We went, is because I shot a 4. It was either a 4 or 5 man, I don't remember, of green wing teal. So we went back the next day and didn't
exactly what you're talking
shit.
About.
Yeah, Tanner was like, dude, we're gonna mash on them. We're gonna step on their heads.
I would say the best hunts that I went on this year down here was all at Pipkin.
Oh, thank you, Ryan Warhol and Pipkin Ranch Lodge. They always put up for a good time.
I had some really good hunts out at Pipkin. That's all.
And
you know,
what sucks, Ryan didn't get to do a single duck hunt this year.
Ryan didn't make a single hunt this year.
Yeah, Ryan hasn't been on the podcast. He snapped his leg in half filling up deer feeders this year. So he basically.
That's what happens when you get old, man.
Yeah.
You get frail and
petite.
I don't know how old Ryan is. 50? 60, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's up there. Like
he's pretty old. Silver Fox. Good deal. On the table, actually, if you are watching this, we do have on the very left, in front of Tanner, there is a brand new hat online. Right. I don't know. There's a brand new hat in front of Tanner. I saw it today. One of the guys that runs the Lone Star Bass Club was wearing that hat today. That old Widgeon hat. I was like, oh, nice.
Old Widgeon. That's a good-looking hat right there. Come up very with detailed.
Yeah, we need to do some more hats soon, too. Just fucking
We got the old gray hats back. Those were a popular hit, and everybody's been begging for them ever since. Hell, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. I don't think I've taken this hat off one time. I shower with it on, actually. But I've been keeping those guys busy, our hat guys, with other side project stuff. That golf tournament I got this year, we're going to Canada, and the logo this year is Sasquatch swinging a golf club with his nutsack out. That came out really good.
I'll tell you what, y'all hit the Two Moon hats hard.
Oh, yeah.
I've been rocking the shit out of the Two Moon hat.
Ryan Rhodes. Rhodes. I can't think of the name, but Ryan Rhodes is the guy that I've been dealing with, they have been killing the game with the hats.
They've been doing good.
Took a little remission right there. Let Tanner drain the main vein.
Drain the main vein.
Drain the socket.
cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, it finally...
a little cooler outside down here in Southeast Texas or outside.
Yeah, it's only 88 degrees outside. We we really do want to put some mini splits and do all kinds of stuff to this thing. We just...
it's a lot, but, you know, definitely we need to upgrade our lighting. We need to upgrade our walls. We need to upgrade our... We need to get a ceiling in this son of a bitch.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty much a whole overhaul. I mean,
yeah, it's going to be an overhaul.
It's doing the job for now, holding in our inventory and being able to do orders and everything else, but definitely need some work. But
so what I wanted, one thing I wanted to talk about was the here about, was it a month ago, we had the third annual Ronatoro Roundup.
Oh yeah,
and that went really well. We had 34 teams.
So explain like what the Ronatoro Roundup is, because most people probably don't even know what it is.
So Ronatoro is Spanish for bullfrog. Every year around April, we do a big bullfrog competition where your teams of four gig, catch, however you harvest your bullfrog, your biggest 15, and we do it at the Crawfish Hideaway in Anahuac, Texas, and weigh them in. This year, the winning weight...
26 pounds, I believe.
26 pounds, I'm
pretty
sure. Which
is insane.
Just...
pretty good sack.
Just imagine... All right. Think of a frog. Anyone that's listening to this, think of a frog. Now, think of almost a two-pound frog.
Well, the thing is, we're frogging... So, we had a team. It was me, Porter Tanner, and Colton DeVillier. And... you know, when I think of going frogging, you know, crawfish fields, all that kind of stuff sounds prime. And it is, but I thought we had 15 pretty good frogs. Dude, we go to the weigh-in, man, and these guys are bringing in these fucking frogs that look like they've been injecting, like, trenbolone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
they've been eating heavily and just juiced up. I'm like, God, where are they getting these damn frogs?
Well,
that's what we need to find out. Where are they catching these frogs? It's not in crawfish fields. They're catching them somewhere else.
Or they're catching them in places that we have zero access.
Well, no, we actually, the winners caught them in the Trinity River bottoms.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, it was perfect year where we had rain. It wasn't too low. It wasn't too high. They grinded, walked the bottoms out, and caught those straight-up mamones.
Yeah, those were some big frogs. But
then the second-place team, who was less than half a pound away, was out of Nome, crawfish fields.
Yeah. Everything else was crawfish fields for the most part.
But you have crawfish in that river. That's why all the big weights are with crawfish.
Yeah,
and our problem, well, we had some studs. We had some good frogs. They were empty.
We had about 10 good frogs.
They weren't feeding.
Yeah.
For some whatever reason.
Well, remember, we caught them all out of that.
I mean, I cleaned every single damn one of them. Mitch helped with some of them, and
we caught most of them out of that bar ditch.
Yeah, we caught them out of the damn bar ditch right next to the crawfish field.
There wasn't shit in the crawfish field. It was all in the little canals next to the crawfish field.
Yeah.
And we caught a shitload. We probably caught what was like 50 or 60, maybe.
I cleaned. Well, you helped me, right? The first
day? Yeah. We cleaned the ones that we didn't weigh in. We cleaned them all.
I mean, shit, we cleaned probably 6 dozen frogs.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 dozen, roughly. And then the next day, I cleaned Delaney's and Cassie's and Keaton's.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, hell, that was ever bit of 30, 40 frogs right there.
Yeah, the reason I brought this up, one, so next year, we post about it about a month before, you know, if anyone around the Southeast Texas area wants to get into it, we paid actually top 5 teams this year. Like, first place got $1,500 in belt buckles.
Shit, I thought it was more than that.
No, I think it was $1,500 because we made it 5 teams. Usually we do top 3, but since we're getting over 30 teams now.
And we had a big turnout this year. There was how many teams?
34, I think. 34.
We've jumped up every year so far. This is,
and the good thing about it, you go weigh in your toads. You know, you might not win, but that damn crawfish hideaway, man, they serve up some good food. They got crawfish,
po'
boys, they got
crab.
I sat there and ate until I couldn't eat no more. After it was all said and done, Tanner left, and I sat there and ate.
You ate the rest of
a couple
mine.
More pounds of crawfish.
And I'm not lying, not even because Casey's my good buddy. Like, that's the only place I eat crawfish in Southeast Texas.
They do have some.
And they
damn
got some
jam
up crawfish, and I'm not crawfish. Real. I mean, we cook crawfish. I'm not going to go
spend a shitload of money on crawfish right now, but you know, when the time's right, I'll tear into them.
Yeah,
that's the place to do it.
That I'll go get a couple pounds there, and then
I'll tell you, the shrimp this year was
up. Anyone around, you know, Anahuac, Mont Belvieu, Baytown, the Crawfish Hideaway, and even if you don't go to the one in Anahuac, what's his name, Jeff? We had him on the podcast.
Jeff, the owner.
Yeah,
I don't remember his last name, but they have several locations.
Loomis, Jeff Loomis.
Yeah, they got Mont Belvieu,
Dayton, Liberty, and then, you know, the Anahuac chain. But that is some of the best crawfish you will eat. They're just, and I say that because they're consistent.
They are.
They're very
consistent. Like, you go some of these places, I'm not going to call anybody out because a lot of people, I don't, local business, I support it all, but you'll go one day and it's like, man, these are so good. Then you go again, it's like, oh my God, what are these?
Yeah.
What are those?
Yep. But, you know, I want to bring back my annual crawfish bowl. I used to do one every year, but now, shit, I've been settling in the house past few years, whatever, but I'm about to bring that shit back. We got that badass cooker from Texas Star Outdoors, best cooker on the market by far.
Badass.
Dude, cookers. That thing is awesome. How'd your little crawfish turn out?
I cooked 6 sacks, and I soaked my crawfish for 30 minutes, and I was done in
3 hours?
Roughly.
Yeah, those cookers are the shit.
It's quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's
that's 180 pounds. I have a 160-quart pot, and I could put it on a jet burner and just say it takes every bit of 30 minutes to get it going good enough to put your first sack in. That damn cooker,
dude.
15 minutes, it's rolling. It's ready to go.
Dude,
maybe not even that.
Heavy duty aluminum.
It's lightweight. You could move it around like nothing. And I could load it in the bed of my truck by myself.
You did.
I think stale crackers.
3 times.
That's what he uses now, too.
Really?
I think I saw stale crackers using them now, too.
Yeah, oh, put it on a cracker, dude, using it? That's awesome.
It's a jam up cooker.
No, they're great. They hooked us up with one, has our logo on it, and, you know, we definitely had to do a couple of videos.
Well, I was waiting.
I plan on doing one more big bull at the house before the season's
over. I was waiting for the crawfish prices to go down to where I could afford to buy some, and then we would do a big boil at the house. But
you could just ask us. We could all split it.
Yeah, I know.
Need to do that.
We're not pieces of shit, Mitchell.
Yeah, we'll do that soon.
Or we'll just get Joe. Joe just pays for all of it.
Yeah, Joe doesn't listen to this. Joe really doesn't really like any of us. But
he doesn't.
Joe, he owns Coke Pipeline or something like that now. I'm not sure.
He's a heavy hitter for the pipeline.
Yeah, for the pipeline, like. You know, he did just acquire his own plane. It's not like a Learjet, but he did acquire his own plane. So, you know, it's going to be nice looking forward to the future.
Tell me we're still not allowed on it, though.
Oh, well, okay.
I think it's funny.
I was looking forward to making a Fredericksburg trip.
We haven't done a damn podcast in so long. We keep getting messages on, you know, a couple of our, like, Instagram people. When's the podcast coming back? When's the podcast coming back? So I was like, shit, we need to get together and start doing more podcasts and have some interesting guests on. We need to get, like, some of our viewers and some of the people that watch these, like, hey, you know, y'all need to have this guy or this guy. I guarantee, you know, we can reach out to, you know, not whoever, but, you know, we can reach out to some people and
somebody will take the offer, you know.
Yeah, I mean –
Some interesting individuals, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's our better podcast. I'm not going to say, like, this one's not going to be fine. I mean, we're just kind of catching up and letting everybody know kind of why we've been lazy sons of bitches, because we haven't been lazy sons of bitches. We haven't had time.
This is a
life.
Bullshit podcast,
basically. Like, yeah, just life. But we're just letting people know we're still alive, really, because there's a couple of people that actually genuinely like listening to our podcast. They've liked, you know, some of the shit we've done and some of the guests we've had on. Like, I have been waiting, counting down the days for Zeke to come back from the South Pole. Zeke Mills.
Yeah,
the chef.
Where's he cooking out of? What is it?
The South Pole.
Yeah, is it the North Pole or the South
Pole? South Pole.
The South Pole. That was a cool dude, man.
Dude, that was the most interesting podcast to me that we've done.
Yeah, he was
cool. He's been down there now for 8 months.
Damn.
And it's their wintertime right now.
Yeah.
So it's like perpetual darkness for months on end. And he's
out there cooking.
No, he's not just cooking, man. No, I'm serious. He's in charge of cooking, but he gets all the food that will last the whole winter.
And he's in charge of inventory, all that shit. Like
he keeps like 48 people alive.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
No, dude,
I couldn't do it.
You weren't you didn't do that podcast.
No,
I would actually.
This
never
is like my second podcast.
It's not your second one, but I don't go back and listen to our podcast. I would go back and listen to that one. Just he's that interesting.
Yeah, I've never listened to a podcast.
Yeah, no.
Never. Well, we need to bring back, and honestly, what we need to bring over here is something to cook on. We could cook something over here, you know, throw something on the grill, and then we can feed, have
next
a couple
time
drinks.
We're
going
to have a Blackstone right here in front of us, and as we're just podcasting.
I'll do some hibachi.
Something.
Do something. No, dude, Porter can throw down on that Blackstone now.
I thought Porter only sous vide.
He does do.
I didn't think Porter cooked
on
anything
else. He does a lot of sous vide.
Dude, y'all... Don't hate on the sous vide. The sous vide is...
I'm not hating on the sous vide.
Sous vide is
it cooks a
unmatched.
Tender steak, man.
Oh, yeah. That's how all the fancy restaurants do it. They just sous vide them and then throw them on the pit, whatever they do.
I'll tell you what I want to start doing is the reverse sear method. I want to start doing it because I got a good smoker. You know, smoke it until it's temp to about rare or whatever, and then char it on the Blackstone with a little garlic butter.
It's good, but it's not my. I really.
You like the sous vide better?
Well, just I like just I'll take a steak, just throwing it on a pit. But I'm not a big reverse sear. I've done it probably four times with the Pit Boss.
Yeah,
I mean, try it. You might really enjoy it, but it's not as good as like getting some oak wood, pecan wood, and just
smoking it.
Just sear the shit out of that thing. But it's not bad. I don't mind the reverse sear, but. He would that would be a good one is have like we've had two chefs on here.
Well, you say chefs. I mean Zeke, I guess he's a chef, right?
No, he's a culinary chef.
Yeah, like, I guess you call them both chefs. Or
Jus
is a chef, yeah.
Oh, he's a
hell
chef.
Yeah, I give it to definitely him.
That's what I was saying. We have both.
He makes damn good food. I know that.
Dude, the Smash Wagon in Beaumont, Texas. If you're anywhere around Beaumont, go to the Smash Wagon.
Now, I talked to Jess at the barbecue festival, and I did tell him. I said, next time we do a crawfish bowl, he wants to be invited. Like, not that he wants to be invited. I told him, we're inviting you. So, he's like, come on. So, when we do a crawfish bowl, we have
bring
to invite
on.
Jess.
We'll do it.
Dude, he is...
bring him on.
Dude, those freaking burgers are dumb.
Dude, he can cook,
he can bring his trailer and just park at the driveway.
Yeah.
The Smash Wagon. But what I was going to say is have, like, you know, him and Zeke on, and we cook for them, and then...
They give a review of how shitty it is.
Yeah. We each do our best...
Our best dish. Shit, I don't know what my best dish is.
Tanner would be doing duck, mashed potatoes, and gravy.
Ooh-wee.
Mitchell...
Man, I mean, I'm not the best chef or cook. I can cook shit and people eat it. Yeah, that's okay. You know? I mean, I don't have like a specialty, you know?
My favorite things, like specialty wise, I feel like I'm the only one that ever cooks it is an etouffee.
I really don't know how to cook a good etouffee.
The last time I cooked it was when we did that big ass shrimp etouffee at the house. And that was, what, 2 years ago?
I never do a lot of the sauce based stuff. Not that I don't know how to make one, but like,
Porter cooks the best. The best.
You're about to say something fucking.
Brussels sprouts on the planet.
I thought you were about to start talking.
I am not a Brussels sprout fan by no means, but Porter freaking knocks them out of the park.
He can. Porter can cook
that honey glaze. I don't even know how you do it.
I've always liked a good Porter breakfast, man.
Oh, so
about a Porter breakfast.
Well, man. Mitchell.
Well, Porter, we never had a chance to cook breakfast because Porter was always up 3 hours before us.
Yeah. I cooked one for Mitchell the other day. We had a nice breakfast on the Blackstone, then proceeded to go to our good friends over at Freedom Firearms.
Oh, that was when Mitchell was talking shit on me, and y'all sent me Snapchats.
Yeah, so Porter called me. He's like, hey, man, my buddy at Freedom Firearms said we could come up and hang out for the day, and I was like, cool, sounds fun. I didn't have shit going on, so went over to Porter's house. He threw down the Blackstone, eggs, bacon, hash browns, the whole bit.
Miller Lights,
delicious.
8:30.
And so we head up to Freedom Firearms and get the little tour, you know. Tommy, the owner's kind of showing us around. And we're sitting in front of this aisle, and I turn around, and there's this taser, like this taser gun or whatever you call them. It's like, man, that's pretty cool. You know, he's like, yeah, that's the same voltage that law enforcement carries. And then we kind of started joking around. We had our other buddy, Savoy, with us. And
Colton Savoy.
We were kind of joking around, like, oh, you wouldn't get tased. You wouldn't get tased. And it kind of just turned into a whole thing throughout the day. You know, we're hanging out. And finally, Porter and Savoy both were like, let's do it. Let's get tased. And the owners were really wanting to try out what they had on the shelf, you know, their taser guns. They haven't got to really test them out from what he was saying on actual people. So we went in their little training room.
They knew how they worked. They just wanted to do it.
Yeah, probably so. And they said, hey, man, they were like, you're going to do it too. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, that's not something I really cared to do. And I'll let Porter kind of take over and talk about his experience of getting tased. It was I enjoyed watching it.
Let me go back to – so this is, you know, we've had a few beers. Not drunk by no means, but, you know, we're a little cocky talking shit. So originally when they started bringing up – everything that you said was true. Like when they saw the taser, Colton was like, I'll get tased. And Mitchell was like, you get tased, Porter should get pepper sprayed. And I was like –
No.
I was like, yeah, dude, like, if you get tased, I'll get pepper sprayed. I was talking that shit.
Never thinking that he would actually agree to get tased, well, honestly.
And then they're like, well, we have a ballistics, like, rifle gun for, like, riots and shit.
No.
They shoot half-inch, what is it?
Well, what they
rubber
said.
Bullet.
No.
It's not. It's ceramic.
Ceramic.
Oh, shit.
It's like, if there's like a you pick this.
That's worse.
No, you pick this thing up, it feels like a piece of porcelain. It's like our piece of rock hard marble.
They had rubber ones.
Like this big.
They had rubber ones, but they were small. They're like, we have this thing. And I'm talking, that son of a bitch was huge. And it was, like, I dropped and it was like, ding.
That's hard. It's like a.
I was like, oh my God. Like, go shoot it. Fill it up with like a big CO2 tank. And it just shot. I'm talking, like,
it's like shooting a gun, damn.
Yeah, man. It's
like actual gun
going through sheetrock. And they're like, Mitchell originally said that he would get shot with that. I would get pepper sprayed. Savoy would get tased. We shot that. Everybody was like, no. And hell Drew, no. The other owner of it, was like, yeah, I got shot by it. You know, just to see what it feel like. And he said it sucked for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
he said he thought he broke a rib. It bruised the shit out of them. It was like, okay, I don't want to do that. So I was like, still contemplating the pepper spray, and I was like, I don't really want to ruin the rest of my day. I got plenty of beer to drink.
I think it ruins more than just the day. I think it carries on.
I don't know. I just
a little bit.
I even if it just lasted 4 hours, that would suck. I just knew that tasing would suck for a second.
Tase is quick and over with.
So
about 5 to 10 seconds.
So me and Savoy decided, he was like, I'll go first. And I was like, you're brave. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I was fucking nervous. I mean, it's like 50,000 volts. It's stupid. I never know it was that high, but it's like, oh, well, it's because there's not amperage or whatever. It's like, it's just straight voltage. So it's like 50,000 volts shot through a two half inch metal prongs that have.
They're little harpoons, man.
They're like, but they have dual harpoons on them.
Yeah, they penetrate.
They stick into your muscle into and they meet.
And they shoot like, it's like something stupid, like 300 feet per second.
Yeah.
So it packs a punch. So Savoy does it first. And it connects with them perfectly.
Perfect.
Just connection. Right shoulder and then bottom left on the left side of his body, right by his spine. Hits him, and he just straight up lets out this.
He locked up.
He locked up. Full 50,000 volts. Hit the ground, and they hit him again, you know, like they would, like an inmate, I guess. And he, like, just tensed up, almost shit his pants. And then the worst part, truthfully, the worst part is getting him out. They had to rip it out of his skin. But watching him do that and let out that howl, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I would have rather gone first.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no. So I get up, and she raises that gun behind me. Taser, taser, taser. Safety's on.
Yeah, there was like a little pause because she accidentally had the safety on. And he was all braced up ready, and then no. And then she raised up again.
She had to raise up again.
She was on fire that time.
Yep. Taser, taser, taser. And I'm talking in the – this is all videoed, by the way. It's on Instagram, Facebook, Bayou Dragons. It hit me. I took a step forward because it felt like someone just straight up, like, punched me in the back. I was like, oh, shit. And then, like, you get hit with it first, and you're like, ah. And then the shock came on. Luckily, and I'm not going to lie to anybody, luckily, one of them hit my shirt. Like, the bottom of my shirt was a little loose.
Deflected.
It slowed it down enough where it just hit my spine and didn't stick. Like, it bounced off. The other one got me gnarly. Straight up to
the
deal.
Full penetration.
Full penetration. Like,
so that, even with the one hitting you, like, if you were being chased by the cops or whatever, just with the one.
Not running.
You're not running.
Running. I didn't fall. I didn't. But I locked up.
But you couldn't run with just half of the.
No.
Yeah.
Zero. And if anyone says you can, no.
I mean, honestly, I've seen people on drugs doing all kinds of crazy shit.
Different. Yeah, get on some angel dust.
Different. Yeah, if you're on that dust, man, you might be able to.
PCP, man.
I had
them dudes.
I had
didn't even phase them.
I had three Miller Lights, and that was it. And it hit me, and it was on the right side. And that thing was tender for like 3 days afterwards.
Well, I remember when they pulled it out of your back, like,
there was
blood
meat.
And meat came out. Like, that son of a bitch stuck into your.
Yeah. Your like, shit. They were, like, Tommy was like, man. He's like, you only got one of them, but yours went all the way to the base.
Full penetration.
Full penetration. Colton's went down to the first barb on each one, but it was enough to catch 50,000.
He got the full 50.
Oh, man, he got the full 50, but mine, when they pulled it out, they're like, ooh. I look at it, there's like literal pieces of my fucking back on that thing. And I was like, but that 25,000 volts, whatever it is, my arm just went, yep, like tight. And I was like, oh, no. And then when they hit me again, they did the, hit him again, he's not down. It just, everything.
Just locks up. No motor function.
No motor function.
Yeah.
But it is, I'm talking seconds. Now, for about 30 minutes after, you still feel, it was kind of like a high. Like you just did a, like an awesome drug. Because after we got done, it's like, I was like, dude, I'm fucking hammed. Smashed a Shiner Bock. Tommy bought us some beer since we got tased, you know. And but, like, I still felt, like, lightning in my fingers. And it finally went away, and I was like, oh, well.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, it really hurts for about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But then don't let anybody poke. My mom was like, let me see the.
I'm tender.
I pulled my shirt up. She goes, is that it? And, like, you know, just stabbed it. Dude, I was like, oh, shit. Like.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hit with 10,000. I've got tased with 10,000.
With the hand one, though?
Yeah, it's just the hand one.
Yeah.
Just straight to the shoulder. And
I've been
I mean, it'll kind of lock you up, and it sucks. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't feel good, but.
Oh, yeah, no.
I can't imagine.
Jared Bruce.
25,000 volts, which you got, compared to 50,000 volts. That's a lot.
Yeah. I think really the whole difference is, and I mean, Colton could probably say something different. Like, it wasn't that it, like, hurt. It literally just immobilizes you.
Yeah, you're completely.
You get a full body muscle cramp. He just got more of a muscle cramp. But, like, he didn't get up and was like, oh. He's like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I just think I didn't get that full deal.
Yeah.
Would I do it again? Probably. I would like to be compensated next time. For sure.
Well, I do want to ending the podcast on a very important or very controversial question. I want to ask Porter and get his thoughts on it. Who would win in a fight? 100 humans or one gorilla? What is your answer on that?
That's the most random shit. We had that. We were on that topic today.
No, it's popping off on the internet right now. People are like, oh, you know, 100 people would win or one gorilla would destroy them. What do you think, Porter? What is your thoughts?
It depends on the man.
Is this normal average humans?
Normal average humans.
Like me and you, like us three and, you know,
people 100 like of us.
Yeah,
100 of us.
100 of us.
And this is important. That's why I'm asking the questions. Is it like an open field, or are we in like a decent, like in the shop?
You're in...
I'm saying, like...
an open field, no weapons, and it is 100 average Joes like us versus one in his prime gorilla.
Silverback
prime gorilla.
Dude, everybody, like, you know, makes these claims that we would win, but... so, if I was in this situation, and this is my answer to you, we run up, and you're the first person, you get face... to face with this thing, he is ripping your arms. He's either ripping your arms straight off your body.
Yes.
Because they have enough power to just, like, take your wrist
to go. We looked up all of the details of a full-blown gorilla today at work.
Yeah. So
the power is outrageous.
First off, no. I don't. 100 people with their hands, no. Normal people.
Yeah, and there's no weapons involved. Yeah, that's all I'm hand-to-hand combat with the gorilla.
You
got to think, even if he gets tired and worn out, you could hit him as hard as you can. You're not going to hurt him.
Well, like...
even, 100 people...
if he's, like... well, that's the thing. 100 people can't get on him.
No.
Like, really, like, 6 people at one time.
Yes, exactly.
And, like, once those 6 people get fucked up, because, like, one, if I was behind him, I put him in a chokehold, he's going to just do this.
And they have 13,000 pounds of bite.
Okay, yeah, so he bites my arm in half. He grabs Mitchell by the scrotum.
It might have been 1,300, something like that.
I mean, just I don't think it's possible.
I agree. I think the gorilla.
If there was a way that all 100 could get on top of him, but you can't.
You can't. Everybody's always like, oh, 100 people just pile up on top of him. You can't do that.
You can't even put 100 people in a pile.
And if it was an enclosed area, he'd just wreak havoc on everybody. There would be.
And if, especially if it was front to front.
Yeah.
If you had to go at him, I don't care if you had 300 people. He's killing you.
Yeah, it's
if he was pissed.
Yes.
No, I'm talking like pissed. Like he's here to fight.
he knows his job.
He knows what's at stake.
Yeah, we're doomed. Like I'm not gonna even claim, like at all. Now if like you're like, oh, 100 Brian Shaws. Well, he's the size of one.
They said it was a full blown is 5 to 8. Times stronger than average.
Yeah, I mean, even with that Shaw guy, I mean.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, saying he's 400 pounds. Just say we're all 200 pounds. Like, dude, that thing is killing you.
Yeah.
That was another thing. They'll eat your face off. You know the mountain, whatever that guy's name is?
Oh, Thor Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson. That dude, like 100 of him, maybe. You know, that dude's absolutely gigantic.
100
right?
John Jones?
He's something. Strong as shit.
I saw, like, someone made a list of, like, the. Of, like, people, like, they would send in. And it was, like, John Jones and, you know, the baddest motherfuckers that you could possibly make a list of.
Yeah.
And it was still, like, even with them, you're that gorilla's ripping your fucking
limbs off.
Dude,
you're just not doing it. I don't think 20 people could beat up one of those big chimps.
No.
Oh, them dudes, them things are...
Those things are, like...
wild.
Yeah, like those Bondo apes or whatever they're called.
Yeah, they'll rip you to shreds.
To shreds,
You heard about that one that that got jealous because somebody else brought the cake to like her old monkey friend. He got out of the cage and ripped her face off.
Yeah.
And ate it.
Ripped it off. The whole face.
The monkeys, man, they're another breed.
Yeah.
But, we are running low on time here, but anything you want to say to close it out, man?
Man, I know this is kind of a BS podcast, but we will be back with the next one. We'll start having guests again. We are going to be better on getting on top of this stuff because they are fun. We're just been busy and getting set up in our new spot. So
yeah, we're going to get back at it for sure.
We're glad everybody was patient. Hopefully y'all, you know, understand it's just life, but we're going to be hitting it hard coming back. Thank y'all for watching episode 59 of the Bayou Dragons podcast.